Are you known on your job as a follower of Christ and a kingdom rep?
Dr. Tony Evans says every believer possesses a life-giving message the world needs to hear.
We need kingdom representatives who will take the king into every sphere of life without delay.
This is the Alternative Broadcast, featuring the timeless biblical teachings from the archives of Dr. Tony Evans. Salvation is a free gift from God with no strings attached. But today, Dr. Evans explains that following Christ here on earth comes at a price that not everyone is willing to pay. Let's join him as he begins.
Today, I want to talk about unleashing kingdom commitment from Luke 9, beginning with verse 57 to 62. Because Jesus has a conversation with three people. They're all gathered there together, and they're listening to one another. And in this conversation with three people, Jesus wants them to really understand what commitment is really all about. In each one of these three, the word follow will show up. The issue is following Christ. And he will connect following Christ to the kingdom, to the jurisdiction of God's rule. And so the issue is following him. Let's clarify as we get started, the issue is not him following you. The issue is you, me, us following him. Now, the reason why that's very important is if following him is not the goal, then discipleship cannot occur. Because it's about following him. And we live in a day when people want the Lord to follow them as opposed to following him. We're told in verse 57 of Luke 9, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Now that sounds right. That sounds like somebody who knows where they want to go. Jesus, I want to follow you. And it doesn't matter where. Wherever you go, I'm your boy. I'm going to be there. Lead me, Jesus, and I'll follow. Jesus responds, "Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." In each one of these three cases, you will know what the person is thinking by the answer Jesus gives. Because Jesus is listening to their words while simultaneously reading their hearts. Man number one says, "I will follow you wherever you go." Now, the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're called the synoptic gospels because they share many of the same stories, but from their own unique perspective. When Matthew tells this story, same person, "I will follow you," but Matthew, chapter 8, verse 19, he tells us who this person is. Luke does not. He just says, "Someone said." But Matthew says, "The scribe said to him, 'Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go.'" So Matthew, telling the same story, gives us a little information. Tells us, first of all, that the someone of Luke is the scribe of Matthew. Scribe was a scholar in biblical days. They loved learning. They loved Bible study. They love getting into the nooks and the crannies of bibliocentric, exegetical, expositional, nuanced, divinely ordained truth. They wanted to pick the law apart in all of its idiosyncratic nuances. So they were the scholars. So we shouldn't be surprised that this scribe, this scholar, calls Jesus teacher in Matthew. He says, teacher, teach me. Teach me. I like learning from you. When you read the verses leading up to the scribe, they're describing Jesus's popularity and his miracles. So this scribe is watching Jesus build a ministry. He's watching the crowd grow. He's seeing the miracles done, and he's hearing the teacher teach. And he says, I'm going to hang out with you. And the way this train is rolling, I'm going with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, you can count on me, because I see hanging with you is going to get me a crowd. Hanging with you is going to let me see some power. Hanging with you, I'm going to really learn some stuff, because I like studying and you the teacher. And then Jesus says, foxes have holes, birds have nests, and the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus is the only preacher I have ever heard of who tried to make his church smaller. Everybody else trying to get people. He'd be giving reasons not to follow him. Because he wasn't just looking for folks in a pew. He was looking for followers on a mission. Foxes have holes. They know where they're going to sleep. Birds have nests. They know where they're going to be. The Son of Man is not sure where he's sleeping tonight. Son of Man doesn't know where he is going to rest his head. Scribe, you still want to roll with me? Or are you just hanging with me for the goodies? You see all the stuff about me you like. You see all the stuff about me that impresses you. So you want to hang with me. But I want to know, are you going to hang with me if I got a homeless night or not? I want to know if you're going to hang with me when the going gets tough, the suffering comes in, the difficulties arrive. I know it looks good now because you see the crowd, you see the miracles, and you hear the teaching. So you say, I'm going to follow you. But I need you to know there is another side to this coin. That if you follow me, there are going to be some tough times. If you follow me, there's going to be some difficult days. If you follow me, there's going to be some rejection. If you follow me, you won't have all the goodies that you may see right now operating in your life. So is it about me or is it about the stuff you can get from me? We have a theology that abounds today, prosperity theology. Don't get me wrong. God is not against prospering. He's not against improving your lot in life. Through your work, through your diligence, through your investments, through God is not against that. But that's not the whole story. Because the problem with prosperity theology is that it lacks a doctrine of suffering. And because it lacks a doctrine of suffering, when things go left, people think God left. When things are not where you want them to be, when you do get fired, when the money gets funny, when you do get sick, all of a sudden, where is Jesus? But I thought you were following him. What Jesus wants you to know is, I want to know, are you going to follow me in the bad times and the good times? I want to know if you're going to hang with me when the going gets tough. I want to know you're not going to bail out on me just because you have a bad day, bad week, bad month, bad year. I want to know you following me, because where I'm going, there are going to be some rough days. Where I'm going, they're going to reject me. Where I'm going, they even going to put me on a cross. You sure you want to hang out with me, or are you just seeing the good things right now? So the question to the man is the question to this house. Are you following Jesus because of who Jesus is, or are you just coming here for your blessing? Are you just coming here because of the kingdom goodies that are offered? Don't get me wrong. There are great blessings and benefits to following Jesus. But Jesus is challenging this scribe. There is another side to this coin. And there will be days I won't know where I'm sleeping. And I want to know, are you still hanging with me? Are you still going to follow me? Are you still going to go where I am going? God is not looking for gold diggers. A gold digger is somebody who wants to hang out with somebody else, not because they like them, but because they can give them stuff. And a lot of people will hang out with God for their blessing. They'll give praise to God for their blessing. But they'll bail out when things go south because they were never following him. They were following goodies in his name.
We'll hear more from Dr. Evans on committing to follow Christ without reservation in just a moment. Stay with us.
Are you hungry for more of God, more of his truth, more of his power, and more of his wisdom applied in your life? Then you need to connect with a community of passionate believers who are growing in God's Word through the Tony Evans Training Center. With exclusive video and audio teaching from Dr. Tony Evans, this interactive online study experience allows you to explore theology, biblical history, and real-life application of the kingdom agenda anytime, anywhere. Visit TonyEvansTraining.org to get started today. That's TonyEvansTraining.org.
Well, on the broadcast today, Tony's been talking about a commitment to God's kingdom. And if that topic has struck a personal note with you, we invite you to check out his brand new book, Unleashed. Through the pages of this book, you'll discover practical ways to live out your faith with boldness, unlock the spiritual potential God has placed within you, and experience the freedom, purpose, and impact that come from fully embracing his kingdom in every area of your life. This is an ideal companion to our current teaching series on unleashing the kingdom. And right now, you can get the book, the 12-part audio series, and the Unleashed Bible Study Guide, complete with streaming access to video lessons personally delivered by Dr. Evans. These powerful resources will help you learn how to experience the benefits of a deep kingdom commitment. We'll send you all three with our thanks for your generous gift to help keep the alternative broadcast coming your way. Just visit TonyEvans.org today or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, right now, let's get back to Dr. Evans in Luke chapter 9.
Verse 59. And he said to another, so now Jesus says, follow me. So here's our word follow again. Follow me. The first guy says, I will follow you. Jesus says, you sure? The second guy, Jesus says, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. Now, that seems reasonable. But he said to them, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Wait a minute, Jesus. I'm going to follow you, but I got to bury my daddy first. Because when my daddy dies, I'm in his will. When I get the inheritance, you may not know where you're going to sleep, but I'm going to know where I'm going to sleep. In other words, I have to get my security straight first. I follow you after my 401 is straight. I follow you after I've gotten my retirement. I'll follow you after somebody dies and leave me an inheritance. I will follow you when I'm secure in following you. Because I heard what you said to that scribe, and I'm not about to take the risk of following you until I've been made secure that if you have a hard time, I don't have to have a hard time with you. I want the security before I make the commitment. Jesus says, allow the dead to bury the dead. What Jesus is saying is, let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. Don't let your physical desires keep you from your spiritual decisions. The third gentleman, he jumps out there with a commitment. He says, I'm in. I'm all in. You can bet your bottom dollar on me. I am all in. I will. I have decided to follow you, Lord. However, permit first me to say goodbye to those at home. Jesus says to him in verse 62, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. It's not that he had not made a decision, but his decision was in the context of a double mind. Once God sees a double mind, even if you're serious about the kingdom part, he says, I can't work with you because I don't know if you're going to bail out on me tomorrow. You good today. You holy today. You in church today, but come Monday, you might go left on me. You might look at the plow today and then look back and then everything go crooked. Turn over a few pages to Luke 14. Jesus says in verse 25, now, large crowds were going along with him, and he turned and said to them. So he got a big congregation. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his mother, his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. Say what? Wait a minute, I'm supposed to love my mother and father, wife and children. I'm supposed to love them, right? He says, anybody who comes after me, you want to follow me, okay, and does not hate his mother and father, what does he mean? Because he tells us to love, you know. So when it comes to your choosing, when it comes to your choices, and you have to choose between me and your mama, you got to choose between me and your daddy. You got to choose between me and your mate. You got to choose between me and your children. They lose, I win. And it's going to feel like hate to them because you chose me over them. And if you're not willing to do that, you can't be my disciple. Because I don't know when you're going to choose somebody else over me. He told Adam, because you listen to your wife, all hell's gonna break loose. Because I know you love the only woman in the world you gonna get the love as things are right now, but I said something else. She loses, I win. God is calling for a level of commitment that when you say goodbye because you have to choose to follow me, that's the decision. We can be in church all day and have nice sermons, nice songs, and high five each other and all that, but being kingdom minded and being fit for the king. That's another thing. So he ends with this in chapter 14. He says, therefore, verse 34, salt is good, but if even salt has become tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? It is useless, not fit, either for the soil or the manure pile. It is thrown down. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He talks about useless salt. We all have salt. When we sprinkle salt, we want it to be salty. We don't want to sprinkle salt and there's no taste, because the whole point of salt is for the taste of salt to integrate whatever we put salt on. So if you have salt, that is not salty. It is useless salt. And if you have Christians who God can't do nothing with, they are useless saints. They're there, but God can't do anything with them, to them, or through them, because all they're doing is taking up space. If you've accepted Christ, That guarantees you heaven. But for God to do something with you on earth, he needs to know that you're plowing a straight furrow, that you are not looking back to what used to be, but where God is taking you in the future. What good is an offensive lineman that can't block? What good is a wide receiver that can't catch? What good is a quarterback that can't throw? What good is a basketball player that can't dribble, or a basketball player that can't shoot? What good is a baseball pitcher who can't throw a strike, or a baseball batter who can't hit the ball? They may have the uniform on, and they may be on the team, but they're no good for what it's designed to do. And if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, he wants to do something with you, to you, through you, in you, and for you. But he wants to know you're not just wearing a Christian uniform, but that you are following him. When you get up in the morning, you say, Lord, today is your day. I want to glorify you today, honor you today, praise you today, live for you today. All you got to do is show me where you want me to go, and I'm following you today. When you make that decision, and Jesus hears that that's your daily way of how you roll, then you won't be a useless saint. You'll be a useful saint, bringing glory to God, blessings to you, and good to others. And even though you're going through trials, you will experience John 16:33. In this world, you will have tribulation, but hey, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Back there won't control you, hold you, dictate to you, or dominate you, because you are following me.
Encouraging words from Dr. Evans for those who commit to follow Christ. If you haven't yet done that, Tony has this offer.
Do you feel like you're too sinful, too flawed, too rebellious, that you fail too much for God to ever forgive you? Guess what? You are a perfect candidate for salvation. Jesus said that he didn't come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance and salvation. So if you're a big sinner, you've got a bigger Savior. If you go to Jesus Christ now, carry the boatload of sins with you to the cross, acknowledge him to be your Savior, acknowledge your sins needing to be forgiven, and trust him to do the forgiving that you desperately desire. He promises he will forgive you, give you eternal life, and offer you the free gift of salvation. I don't care how big your basket of sins are, carry them to Jesus. He's ready to empty them for you.
Learn more about how that process works. Visit TonyEvans.org today and follow the link at the top of the homepage that simply says Jesus. Tony has a video message and some free resources waiting for you there. Before we go, I'd like to remind you to check into getting a copy of that special resource package I talked about earlier, the complete Unleashing the Kingdom audio series, along with Tony's brand new Unleashed book and Bible study guide, including exclusive streaming video lessons from Dr. Evans. You can be among the first to receive these new resources when you make a contribution to support the alternative broadcast. It's our way of saying thanks and helping you dig deeper into God's kingdom truth. Make your arrangements online at TonyEvans.org or call our Resource Center anytime at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222 or online at TonyEvans.org. Unity is critical for believers at every level in our relationships, church, and culture. Tomorrow, Dr. Evans takes a look at what happens when believers lose sight of the central focus of God's kingdom and decide to just do their own thing. I hope you'll join us for that.